It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Keystone Sports Network. He's Greg Pickle. I'm Dustin Hockensmith. Continue our season preview series, looking at each position group on Penn State's roster. We've done a few by now. You can check them out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. We're doing wide receivers and tight ends today, consolidating this group. Really, just let's just call them playmakers. And it's one of the, you know, it's a weird mix with these spots, Greg, with a little bit of uncertainty, especially when you combine that with Saquon Barkley moving on, but also a lot of talent and in a position to maybe make the next step. A lot of guys are. So it's I think they are plenty good enough. Let's put it that way. Yeah. James Franklin again said over the weekend, the name of the game is going to be about distribution here, not leaning on any one player like they leaned on Saquon Barkley. And they've got the weapons to do that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I think James Franklin was pretty clear over the weekend when he was talking with the Big Ten Network about how they're going to replace Saquon. And, you know, if you watch that first carry he had in the preseason game against the Browns, where, I mean, it looked like almost every run he ever had at Penn State, where he just stopped and he kind of looked around and, oh yeah, there's like a 5 millimeter hole there for me to get through. Let me just hit that and go for 39 yards. One thing that was notable was that he didn't necessarily run away from the NFL guys often as, you know, with as much vigor as he did the college guys. But yeah, I mean, listening to James Franklin talk, you know, he had mentioned that and then said, we're going to have to share the love and spread it around a little bit more. You know, we're not going to be able to, you know, just focus on Saquon. And I don't think they did last year. I wasn't really exactly sure what he was getting at with that point, because the whole idea of this offense is to spread it around. And he made the note that 9 different players on offense had a catch or a carry in the first half of the Fiesta Bowl against Washington. And that's what they're going to have to do this year. But they did that a lot last year, too. And let's not forget as well that defenses tended to take Barkley out of the game. This year, though, the question is, how will defenses attack Penn State when they don't have a guy to take, you know, a guy to key on like Saquon Barkley? And they don't have to worry about, you know, at least not at this point in time, what are they going to do with Mike Gesicki? Is it going to be a linebacker? Is somebody going to go with him at all times? Are they going to bring a safety or a corner in to sort of bracket him? Or what are they going to do? So that's another thing. And then the receivers room, a couple guys got to step up. There's a lot of candidates, but like a lot of positions on this team, we just don't know who the stars are going to be yet.
Yeah, I think the air of all this, you know, Penn State's goal under Ricky Ronnie now, under Joe Moorhead before, is make you defend the entire field. East, west, north, south. You know, in 2016, they were much more effective and did it a lot more often of pushing the ball down the field, to the point where really the Penn State offense was criticized as being lucky with those deep balls, throwing a bunch of 50-50 balls, but they weren't really 50-50 balls. Mm-hmm. That changed last year, and I get the idea of defenses stacking the line of scrimmage and focusing and keying on Saquon Barkley and him playing that role and that dynamic changing. But so if the shift is not going to be on Trace McSorley, you can't take him out of the game. Between him being able to run the ball, he scored, what, 11 touchdowns last year?
Yeah.
Him being able to push the ball down the field, which I do think they'll do that a little bit better this year than last year, and him making really smart decisions, him being able to just use a little bit of that moxie when he escapes the pocket and really keep his eyes down the field, you can't key on McSorley and make that a winning formula. So I would say that in some respects that's going for Penn State, is that he's now the biggest threat on the offense, and he's got that type of well-rounded game that you can't take him out of the game. So I guess the shift now, and let's look at first tight ends. So you mentioned Mike Gesicki. That dynamic is going to change for sure. One of the areas that I'm really interested in seeing what happens is inside the red zone, because his ability, and he's showing it in Dolphins training camp now,
yeah,
you can throw it up just about anywhere. He's going to go up. He's going to go to the side. He's going to get his hands on it, and he showed the ability to, once he got his hands on the ball in those situations, to make the catch. Who is going to emerge in that situation, let alone how are they going to get quality snaps from tight ends? How are they going to mix and match? What are they going to ask their tight ends to do? Jonathan Holland, Nick Bowers look like the 1-2 combination right now, but that may be subject to change.
Well, first, if you're listening from Miami, I keep getting perplexed at these people that are saying, oh, Mike Gesicki, another bad day of blocking drills in Dolphins camp. Well, they didn't draft him to block.
Of course,
and if they did, they poorly projected what he was going to be able to do. Why bring that up? Because Penn State now at least thinks has guys or a guy in hopes that is able to block better than Gesicki could, and B, no one's going to be close to him on the athletic scale, I don't think, at least not this year, maybe down the road. But, you know, you need to have somebody that's able to make defenses worry. And James Franklin gave John Holland a nod as an early leader in the clubhouse on that front, said last week that he's happy with his blocking. He's seen some nice things athletically from him. Again, that's fine and well. Two concerns. The biggest one, first and foremost, can he stay healthy for a full season? And then secondly, is it good enough in Big Ten play? I mean, that's the questions that have to be answered. I'll tell you one thing. Practice Wednesday, first play that we were in for, Zach Koontz had a really nice play down the middle of the field, caught it, bounced off a couple of defenders, ran probably 30 yards untouched for a touchdown. I do continue to think that he will have a role with this offense. Penn State will probably pick his spots with him, but I don't think he's a guy that sits out as a true freshman. The other thing I'd say is that, you know, we heard a lot about Danny Dalton in the spring. So what happened? Was Danny Dalton the leader in the clubhouse after spring practice for literally no other reason than he was the only one healthy? Or has John Holland just come out in summer camp and been that much more impressive that he's now the guy getting a nod from the head coach? I don't know. It's too early in camp to say for sure. But at the end of the day, Penn State has to figure out that position group. The bodies are there. The athletes are there. And from what we know, the talent's there. But someone's going to have to step up and really win the job. It's going to be concerning, I think, if Penn State gets a couple weeks into the season and it's still rotating a lot of guys through there because it doesn't have one guy that can run away with the job. That said, all these guys do something a little bit different that maybe you find a lot of different guys playing in certain specific situations, but then you worry about tipping off defenses, what you're doing as well.
So I got a question for you when it comes to run blocking and what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah.
And pass blocking too, but the idea of a tight end prioritizing that, how much of that is Gesicki, is it physical, not executing, and how much of that is really that just manifesting, you know, it just not being all that important to him?
You know, I just think that he really wasn't asked to do that at Penn State. I mean, if you look at some of the things that have come out of Dolphins camp after the first preseason game, I mean, it does seem like he made a stride forward in that area. And why? Because the NFL coaches said, hey, bud, you're going to make a stride in this area. And not to say that Penn State didn't make that a priority, but what was the priority for him? It was staying healthy while playing 95% of the reps, yeah, or something like that at tight end, and being downfield, a downfield threat. I mean, a lot of times his one and only mission was to get in the way just long enough to sneak out of the from the line of scrimmage and get open as a safety valve downfield. It's why at the end of the season he finished with a team leading 57 catches. I mean, it's not like Penn State specifically set up the offense for him to lead the way in the receptions category. It's just that his job a lot of plays was to get in the way just long enough to make it seem like something was happening that wasn't, and then leak out and you know, get the opportunity to be open downfield. So I mean, some of it was probably mental. I mean, there were some times when you just wondered what exactly it was he was attempting to do out there, but there were also a lot of times where I think his job maybe made him look worse than, you know, what he was actually doing.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show talking Penn State football, previewing the wide receiver and tight end positions for Penn State this year. And by the way, I mentioned a little earlier in the show that Labatt is giving away a pair of tickets to every home game this season. That starts with the Appalachian State game, of course. I said that next week they're going to do that. It's actually the end of this week. So if you better get the Beer Express in Harrisburg, Happy Valley Refreshment in Bowlesburg, or Express Beverage in Montoursville if you want to enter that drawing. We will pull the winner later on the air here on the Keystone Kickoff Show later this week. I wanted to clear that up. Looking at wide receivers, Greg, I wonder, you know, you mentioned the downfield passing game. The next step for Juwan Johnson is to be more involved in that regard. And I think, I mean, he's the name that I circle when you're looking for red zone substitutes for Mike Gesicki. He's a guy who, you know, he only scored one touchdown. It was a monumental touchdown last year, but he only scored one touchdown. But he has that frame at 630 pounds, 6'4", and he's athletic enough to make an impact down the field. I have to think that they're going to ask him to do more of that. I think Justin Shorter factors into that as well.
Yeah, I don't have any statistical proof for this next statement, but it has to be pretty rare for a guy to play all 13, start all 13 games, have 54 catches and one touchdown. Now look,
be 6'4", 230.
Yeah, now look, the touchdown pass he caught, he shouldn't have even had that one. You could argue that he stole it from Deshaun Hamilton in the end zone at Iowa, but Penn State kind of needed that one too. So,
yeah.
But no, I think that it would be a surprise if he doesn't see an uptick in that category this fall. He has all the makings of a guy that can replace Gesicki in the red zone, can do all those jump ball kind of things. Now, it's not advocating for the return of the Bill O'Brien fade, which never ever worked, no matter which receiver was out there.
But I hate that play.
Yeah, it just is.
I've tried to give it the benefit of the doubt over the years, but I hate that play.
Too many times it burns you. But he's a guy that, again, you would expect him to see a big uptick in that touchdown category. But I think that it's his year to shine. It'll be a surprise if he is not. I mean, again, I think we kind of dismissed it at times because he only had the one touchdown. But 54 for 701, you know, far and away Penn State's second leading receiver by yardage after Deshaun Hamilton. I mean, he had a really good year last year, and now he has to build on it.
Next step will be coming for him. The other part of the offense that I'm really curious about, with DeAndre Tompkins probably set the start there in the slot, KJ Hamler being one of the big buzz guys of the spring, and now Jahan Dotson being maybe the buzz guy of the summer. What happens here, both in 2018 and beyond? It's pretty fascinating because, you know, DeAndre Tompkins has earned this right. He's a guy who can, again, he can take the next step, can also split out outside sometimes and maybe make room for KJ Hamler. I'm curious to see how that plays out. Too many bodies, not enough football to go around, particularly in the slot.
Yeah, I was. I'm very surprised still that he's been mentioned so often in camp. I mean, let's be honest. If we were doing the green light, yellow light, red light special when it comes to Penn State's freshmen that we're going to play, I would have planted Dotson firmly in the red group. So I'm not very smart. It seems.
I think orange.
But, orange.
Lower
fair.
Yellow.
I mean,
tangerine.
He clearly has taken the skill set inherited by that number five jersey that Deshaun Hamilton used to wear and run with it.
And he just knows what he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, he seems to be very similar to Hamilton in the fact that if you look at his testing numbers from the opening when he was a junior and some of his stuff as a senior, I mean, he ain't gonna blow you away. I mean, they're not that they're bad numbers, but they're not, and that's how Hamilton was. But yeah. Hamilton turned out to be one of the most productive receivers in Penn State history. Dotson seems nine practices, whatever it is, into his career to be on that path. So we thought we'd be talking a lot about Justin Shorter as the freshman receiver. It's interesting that Dotson's been the guy that's sort of been mentioned more.
And it's in this context, it's worth saying that Deshaun Hamilton's testing numbers improved a lot from year one to year five. So it's not, I think it's without question, Dwight Gault is going to improve this kid. But at 5'11", 175, I'm curious to see if he's a four-game freshman or if he's a full-season freshman and how that impacts how much we see of him early in the year and how they go about creating opportunities for Hamler. Mack Hippenhammer is another one, and Jahan Dotson. It's a good problem to have in the end. Again, depth of targets is going to be no question for Trace McSorley. The question is, can they make an impact? All right, we're moving on here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Continue our look at the 2018 season, looking at season makers, breakout candidates at the O-line, and specialist spots. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
It's time to own summer with Labatt Blue. To have a can't do this anywhere but Pennsylvania summer. Soak it in with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light Special Loving Pennsylvania cans celebrating Pennsylvania's top spots. And stop by Beer Express, 4949 Queen Street in Harrisburg, for your chance to enter to win Labatt's tickets for the Appalachian State game. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light.